Well, as Donald Trump continues to assemble his top advisors, let's take a closer look at one of his first appointments. Retired Army Lieutenant General Michael Flynn will be Trump's national security advisor. It is a controversial pick based on some of the things that Flynn has said about Islam. But according to our next guest, that Flynn hardly resembles the Flynn who served in Afghanistan. Patrick Tucker is technology editor at Defense One. He's on a Skype line. Patrick, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Now, you've dug into Flynn's experience as an intelligence officer in Afghanistan, so let's just start there. What did he do in Afghanistan?
So he was the top intelligence officer in Afghanistan under Stanley McChrystal, who was running the international military effort there. And while in Afghanistan, he came up with a number of ideas. He worked later with two co-authors, Matt Pottinger and another fellow, to publish this report on what the process of intel in Afghanistan, how it could be better.
So that report, written in 2010, it was a white paper. He called it Fixing Intelligence, and it actually made waves in the intelligence community. Something that he said was that intelligence operators are spending too much time on tactical data about specific targets and not enough time talking to Afghans, learning about real life among the people. And for this, he was sort of seen as an innovator.
This is something that's very Stan McChrystal, though, I have to say, too. And Big Pentagon was always very careful about letting Afghan tribal leaders, Afghan sort of military partners that the coalition was working with, in on too much information. Hmm. Stan McChrystal went out, brought on the ground military partners that were, you know, tribal heads into like headquarters and said, let's talk about, you know, the intelligence that we have. How does that comport with the intelligence that you have? Really treated them like equals, gave them tea. Michael Flynn was his right-hand guy during that period. And there was a sense that if you don't understand the economic, the tribal, and the social aspects of what's going on in one place versus another on a very detailed, very minute, precise level, then you're going to miss the ballgame. Mm. You have to go out and almost do retail politics like you're running for president.
Right.
And that's different from collecting intelligence from a sensor ball under a predator drone just to hit somebody with a hellfire.
Exactly.
Which is something that they also did, right?
Exactly. So it seemed as though he recognized the fact that there's more to fighting than this cold combat mission and that it was, in fact, important to build relationships with people. But let's fast forward to modern times. A couple years later, let's listen to something Lieutenant General Flynn said this summer when he spoke to a synagogue in Massachusetts.
That we are facing another ism, just like we face Nazism and fascism and imperialism and communism. This is Islamism. It is a vicious cancer inside the body of 1.7 billion people on this planet, and it has to be excised.
Now, this is so interesting. A lot of his critics are focusing on these types of statements. How does it square for you, based on what we've just been talking about, this man who right. went down into the communities or advocated for going into the communities and building relationships with these people who he's now excoriating?
It's strange, right? This is something that makes sense in the mind of Michael Flynn, I guess, but it really presents a night and day contrast that has baffled a few folks that have worked with him. They're sort of baffled by this. I think to his mind, he talks a little bit about this in his larger book, Field of Fight. He feels like he spent his time there learning of this new kind of extremist vein that was working through different communities, that you had Al-Qaeda and you had ISIS and you had the Taliban. And there was this kind of vein among all of them that is this broader ism that he feels very upset about. And at the same time, it's true that all of these groups are violent and all of them do cite religious reasons as their reason for being. That is true. But at the same time, he's also talked about Iran as being in the number one, you know, world sponsor of terror. And that's an analysis that a lot of conservatives agree with, but ISIS and Iran are at war, you know?
So
it's hard. So that nuanced sort of look is kind of lost in these statements. And it sounds political. It doesn't sound like the smart intel guy that people got used to seeing.
So people listening may be wondering, which Michael Flynn will we be getting when he's sitting at the right hand of Donald Trump and advising him on national security issues?
Yeah. You can't alienate the entire Islamic world and expect to succeed in the job of quashing Islamic extremism, because that approach plays directly into the hands of Islamic extremists. So it's going to be a tricky challenge.
Patrick Tucker, technology editor for Defense One. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for having me.